Good morning, Chicago, and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we got you on a Bears Monday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. You can watch our show on YouTube, youtube.com. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Hit that subscribe button for both, or one or the other. That way you miss nothing from ESPN Chicago as we are in the afterglow of the draft for the Chicago Bears and the entire NFL draft. And Cap, it just feels different because the philosophy is different in House Hall than it has been in years past.
They just look more in charge than I ever remember the Bears front office looking. They look like they've got everything mapped out and their plan is being executed. Doesn't mean you're going to hit on every draft pick. Doesn't mean you're going to hit on every trade. Nobody's perfect. But guess what? I love the plan and I love the research and how they went and vetted all these different dudes, especially at the quarterback position. And then when we hear the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix, quarterback, What? We're getting Roma Dunze? And then I hear the people up north, and they're furious that the Bears not only got Caleb, who's amazing, but Roma Dunze's there, along with Keenan Allen, along with DJ Moore, along with Cole Kmet, along with Gerald Everett, along with DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, and Khalil Herbert. Like, let's freaking go.
No question about that. Let's go, because this is completely different than what we've seen before from the Chicago Bears. I want you to think, Bears fans, about the last time the Bears were able to have two picks in the first round, let alone two dynamic, productive players on offense this early in the draft. I want you to think about this. The Bears were able to get Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze in the same vein as Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins in 2021? Is the same vein as Mitch Trubisky and Adam Shaheen, the tight end from 2017? Is it anything like Christopher Williams and Matt Forte? No, Jay Moore, not that Christopher Williams. Not him, no. Not I'm Dreaming, no, Chris Williams and Matt Forte from 2008, a 1-2 punch. Seth Benson and Mark Bradley in 2005. Michael Haynes and Rex Grossman in 2003. Think about what the Bears did and compare it to those drafts going back to 2003. It does not compare. Not even close.
It's unbelievable. Literally unbelievable what they were able to pull off.
But with perspective, it's just not, oh, they got two dynamic players in the draft in the first two in the first top 10 of the draft, Cap. I'm talking about two dynamic players. Right. Over the years, as I just read for you, offensive lineman here, a throwaway tight end there. What was it? What was Shaheen?
Second round pick from Ashland.
Ashland? You talk about the reach of reaches. You get him because you just fell in love with him, and that's supposed to be what Mitch Trubisky is supposed to work with? I mean, Rex Grossman needs offensive line help, and your choice is an animal lover like Michael Haynes? I mean, seriously. Think about those picks and what the Bears did compared to what they have today. We haven't seen anything like it. And for those that are not sure, all we can tell you is this, Cap. All we can tell you is that we've never seen anything like this. You can question it, sure. But you cannot deny that the flurry of activity is so rare for the Chicago Bears. It's not even funny.
Yeah, and every move seems calculating. How they slide back in. They get the punter, which was amazing. And then they get Booker, who I just knew he played at Kansas. I don't follow college football like you guys do. I walked in, Shay was like, "Yeah, you can have your punter. That's fine." This kid in the fifth round, really good. So he's going to do a deep dive, break the tape down, and bring it to us tomorrow. And I'm excited to hear about it. But everything I've read, if this kid stayed in school and had the same type of year, he was a late first, second round pick. We got him in the fifth. Let's go.
I was actually irritated about the punter pick until they traded back into the fifth round and got Austin Booker, because I wanted Austin Booker with the punter pick. The Torrey Taylor pick came through with Austin Booker on the board, and I'm like, what the hell? And then they trade into the fifth and get Austin Booker anyway, and I'm like, you know what? Do what you want to do. enjoy, because that's fantastic.
They needed to upgrade their punter. Our punter was horrible. He's the worst in the league. And you're kicking in this climate? 100%. Let's go. Let's go. We got a weapon there? Great. Got an outstanding receiver? Great. Got the quarterback? Great. Added a potential starting left tackle? Got to develop him. Let's go. Fired up.
All I look at, Cap, is that Ryan Poles looks at the depth chart like we all look at the depth chart and say, I need to be able to fill these holes. And I'm excited because it's just different. That's all. I mean, we've been through many off-seasons before of, that's a nice pick, that's a nice cursory pick, that's a reach, whatever. But when you are sure about going in free agency, see, we can talk about this draft all day, Cap, but it's not like the Bears got the score of picks of 10 or 11 or 12. It's not about that. It's all the other holes that they fill before we even got to the draft, before they even got to Detroit. That's the thing that impresses me most. Ryan Poles, the general manager, talked about, is it possible to project how great a player will be coming from college?
Yeah, it's hard to project to that level, but what you look for is what they can do. What tools do they have, the instincts, their feel for the game, you know, obviously the physical part of it as well. And then can you develop all of the other pieces that they may be missing based on the system that they're coming from or just some struggles that they have. But, you know, if they have a certain level of those physical tools that, you know, the sky's the limit and it can be a really high ceiling. And that's what we look for, and that's what Caleb has. He has a really high ceiling. Now we got to pour into him. He's got to put in the time as well, which we know both sides will do everything that we can to develop him and those around him, and then we'll see where that ceiling is.
Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. It's a Bears Monday. Are you happy with their approach as far as the Bears draft is concerned? Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Justin on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing? Hope everything is good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm pretty much happy. I wanted to translate on the field. I like the fact that Caleb seems like he wants to be in the town, so that's a plus. And I'm just ready to see how it translates. I feel like it was an overall good weekend for Chicago sports. I mean, Cap, I'm sorry about the Cubs, but, I mean, they'll get it back. The Sox winning that series versus Tampa Bay, that was real good. And, yeah, I'm just excited to see. I hope everything is good with you all as well.
Yeah, being a Chicago sports fan, and that's what we all are. That's why we got into this. And just pick this as, just do that job. We love what we do. I've never been this excited about the future of our football team. I can't think of the last time, like in the early, mid-80s, I wasn't doing this yet. I was still coaching. The Bears were dominant, had all that great talent, won the Super Bowl. But since then, have you ever been this excited? Never.
No, it's been a long time, Cap, since I was this excited. And again, I was a young man when it came to the 80s. I just like the Bears, whoever they drafted, because I'm a young person. Didn't even realize when I was 11 years old, that 83 draft. 83 draft.
That's what we just went.
Yep. Yeah, I'd had no idea who's good, who's bad. Didn't watch college football like that at that time to be able to really know. I just know, Cap, that it's about the approach. That's the thing. It's about the process and the approach. I know process, by the way, that word can be a dirty word in sports because the 76ers bastardized that word. Trust the process. Clap, 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 clap. Trust the process. That, right? And it never really was able to bear fruit for the 76ers as far as them winning the championship. But I understood the point. The process is we're tanking. We're good. Taking it down to its studs, and we're going to grow with Embiid. We're going to grow with young players, will put money where it needs to be, and we're going to be a perennial NBA champion. Mm-hmm. That's where the process started. But the process is different with the Chicago Bears because all of this is things that we haven't seen before. Right. When you have the number one pick in back-to-back years and it becomes DJ Moore and Caleb Williams and all the other things that they've done, it just is different. We're not pounding our fist on the table talking about non-football people involving themselves in the football process. None of that is part of our conversation every day. We're not talking about the finance guy giving his thoughts about the third round of the draft.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I told you when they showed the room. It's just, Poles looks like he's in control, man.
You don't have the owner sticking his beak in there trying to tell you what he wants in the draft. No. What you have is, there is Ryan Poles, and there is his staff. And there's Kevin Warren. lot of handshakes, a lot of pats on the back. All right, business. Let's get this done. I mean, that it looked like the operations we've seen from good teams in the NFL. But that's the difference.
I love the videos they show with the phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
He said, who's this? Caleb. It's Ryan. Okay, I'm going to put the pick in at the five-minute mark. Not in 5 minutes. At the five-minute mark, mm-hmm. Okay? The league asked me to wait. You okay? Yeah. Let's do it.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Who's this?
This is Chicago Bears, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
They told me to hold it for 5 minutes. I told everyone I've been holding it for a month.
5 months. 5 months. I've been holding for 5 months.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna pass you over to Coach and Kevin Warren, and we'll put the pick in 5 minutes, or not in five minutes, but at the 5 minute mark.
Sweet.
All right.
My guy, what up? Hey, this day's gonna go down as an iconic day in Bears history, my friend. I'm super excited for you that you realize your dream of being the first pick in the NFL draft. That's so cool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I'm more excited about our football team starting this process and achieving our next goal. And looking forward to our journey together. And I love you. And God bless you. And here's Kevin Warren wants to speak to you too. Okay.
Yep. Sounds good.
I'll see you. And I'll see you tomorrow, brother.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Hey, Caleb. Congratulations, man, to you and your family. Soak it in. This is going to be special. These fans are going to love you. And you're going to love them, and we're going to win a lot of championships together. So you can mark this next one off your list that you had. The next one we got to do is win a championship. So enjoy your family, man. God bless you, and safe travels.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you also, okay. All of y'all.
Oh, great.
And that was the end of the call.
I love the beginning. Who's this? Who's this? It's the best. Let's go.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Who's this?
Who's this? Just Chicago Bears, man.
He referred to himself as the Chicago Bears.
Right.
I'm the Chicago Bears. Ryan Poles.
It's the best.
Who's on the other line? It's the Chicago Bears calling.
It's the best.
Not a month. 5 months.
That's it. What have we been saying?
Oh, no, Cap. Nope.
Again, this is not a shot at the...
It is.
Formerly people known as the Justin Fields cult.
It is.
But it is. Told you this end of October, November, there were questions that had to be answered. Like, why didn't you talk to the media? You know I was critical of that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you talk to the media after your team lost to the to UCLA? Well, then we come to find out Lincoln Riley didn't want him to talk, and there's a whole to-do. But I told you they were moving on. During the season, this was done. They weren't positive this kid was the guy till they did all the vetting. But they were taking a new quarterback, and it was like, we're getting the Hall. Yeah, take that Hall bell back to freaking Amazon.
Is it?
No. Yeah.
So we don't need this anymore?
No, the bell can go away. They were never even considering the Hall. Listen to me. It was never considered. Ever. They were done. They were moving on. They were chasing greatness, period. And that's what they've done here. With that pick, the face of the franchise has changed. It is what it is, man.
Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the draft. That's still to come on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J-Hood are back. On ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
You have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Poles was given the flexibility and the freedom to take this thing down to the ground floor, down to the studs, to be able to build it back up.
Courtney Cronin with Cap and Jay Hood. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking to you about the Bears and the draft on this Bears Monday here on Cap and Jay Hood as we turn to the hotline.
The CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't
worry, call the CarX man. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing awesome. It was a hell of a draft for the Chicago Bears. So now that it's all over, what's your takeaway of what you witnessed?
I don't think you can say anybody won round one more than Chicago. I know that there, when you take a look at like the grades that come out today, there's some questions from analysts around the league about why take a punter in the fourth round. What about addressing the edge position earlier? But some of that's nitpicking for a team that we knew was not going to be able to address every need in the draft, considering they only went in with four picks. But by and large, this is when you talk about the big winners of the NFL draft, it's the Steelers, it's the Eagles, and the Chicago Bears. I mean, those are my three teams that you can't really poke holes in anything they did. And for this group to come away, look at like this offense to come away now looking like it does, I don't think that it's far-fetched to think that they've got the best offense in the NFC North right now going into the the next phase of the offseason.
I want to get your thoughts about looking at the offenses versus the others in the NFC North, as you just mentioned. So with Caleb Williams, I think that's the big question mark. But what about offensive line? What about the other weapons versus Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota? Is Minnesota fourth in that list, or are the Bears still last?
In terms of?
Personnel and the offense.
No, I mean, the Bears have the best wide receiver trio in the NFC North, bar none. Like, in probably a top three unit in the entire league, if you're throwing up there with Houston being one of them, certainly Cincinnati's still in the mix. But I think the Bears take the cake there, considering that they've got somebody who led college football in receiving last year. DJ Moore was sixth in yards. Keenan Allen was 11th. And the combination of that, coupled with a Pro Bowl running back, two really good tight ends, and an offensive line that has continuing to be pieced together by making small upgrades that they hope will end up panning out better. And I think I said this with Carmen and Yurko the other day, I don't think you're going to see as many issues with the offensive line or be pointing towards the offensive line as a problem area nearly as much as we did last year because of the quarterback who can account for some of those things and mitigate some of those issues that we saw with Justin Fields behind the Bears offensive line. But they've improved a lot, and it wasn't a quick fix by any stretch, especially when you talk about that unit up front. But I think they're comfortable going into this, maybe getting a couple vets here and there, some guys that they can sign off the street as we get towards training camp. Obviously, you're going to be looking towards everybody dealing with injuries at some point. But I think that they have these probably, if we're ranking offenses right now, just based on how it appears to be. And, of course, you need to – it's hard to say a quarterback who's never played a down of football in the NFL. So J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams, you're going to give – the other two quarterbacks who are experienced the benefit of the doubt, but I think the Bears can easily push Detroit for the title of best offense in the NFC North based on how this thing looks right now.
In terms of the edge position, I know Shea really likes this kid, Austin Booker from Kansas, that they brought in. But again, he is a fifth-round rookie. I'm not expecting him to be plug-and-play, ready to go opposite Montez Sweat. Do you think Ngakoue still in play on a one-year deal? Is there a June 1 cap designation that gets cut that you're looking at that might be out there? Trey Hendrickson's requested a trade. There's options, right?
Yeah, no, you're right, Cap. And I, to the note on Ngakoue, I do think he's in play. And we know that he's, recovery-wise, he should be ready to go for training camp. It sounds like the rehab process, he's right now doing change of direction and he's able to cut with the broken ankle. So I would imagine that's not going to, if they sign him, it's not going to happen right away, but probably closer to training camp. And there are other veteran options out there, but think about how good Yannick Ngakoue looked it's a short span of like four games, but once he and Montez Sweat got together, I think there's a lot of potential there that the Bears would like to see through if they're able to re-sign him. And someone like Austin Booker, he's not even 22 years old. He won't be 22 until December. So that's more, while it projects right now as situational pass rusher, somebody you're getting in here on third down packages, mixing him in with different personnel, like using a DeMarcus Walker, potentially. I think Rasheem Green could still be in the mix there as well, some of the other vets. But they like what they – this is somebody who I think Mel Kiper said, had he stayed in a year and not declared early for the draft, that could have been like an early day two pick, potentially even borderline late first rounder. So the Bears got back in the draft because they didn't want to see that potential, something that they could cash in on, not just this year, but developing him a year in this system, in this defense, to potentially have an even bigger role as a second-year player. Doing that when the guy is still really raw and really young, but has also put up some pretty big numbers. He had the second-highest pressure rate in the Big 12 last year, and he only started one game. Like, to have that much production, I think it was 8 sacks and 12 tackles for loss, and you only started one game, he's shown a variety of ways of being productive as a pass rusher, and they can line him up in a number of different spots. I mean, he's a natural 43 defensive end, but he played most of his snaps at outside linebacker last year. So I think that versatility element is something that Matt Eberflus really liked, and thus why they made that move to go get their pick back for Ryan Bates. They gave up to go get him. So basically you got Ryan Bates and this guy for pick 144, more or less, which I think is good GMing at the end of the day.
Courtney, we were talking earlier about the NFC North, and Shay, you made the point about the Vikings draft. What stands out most, you were saying?
I was just like, I liked what they did in the first round, going and getting J.J. McCarthy and going and getting Dallas Turner. I just wonder at what cost. Did you win the first round of the draft? Because the Vikings now have 3 picks in next year's draft, plus a comp pick they'll get for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I don't like the mortgaging of the future to go. I mean, basically, you mortgaged it for Dallas Turner. And I get it. He was the top-ranked edge rusher, you know, consensus top edge rusher in the draft. But they had a bigger need at cornerback, which, you know, I was a little surprised at how they handled that as well. And the reason they got pick 23 from Houston was for going up to get their quarterback. Now, certainly, we know that the Patriots weren't going to move off of 3 because they didn't. So when that became too high of a price for them to only have to move up one spot, which I don't know if Denver was going to trade up. I know what Sean Payton said, and it sounded like he was just wanting to be, you know, to be a pain in the ass, to be a pain in the ass, to be quite honest. Like, that's what that sounded like from that press conference. But they did what they had to do to go get their quarterback. I just don't like how the rest of the first round, in terms of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and the draft chart he was talking about and using spreadsheets, I know it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke because he gets ribbed for the analytics stuff a lot, but I just don't know, in terms of value and mortgaging the future when you had other needs, that was the best play for them to go from 23 to 17 to go get their edge guy who, you know, did they not go get Jonathan Grenard in free agency? Was that not supposed to be their next Danielle Hunter? I think Dallas Turner is a terrific player and he's going to make the defense better. But if we're thinking about value and some of the other needs that they did not come away with, I mean, they got the cornerback in the 5th round from Missouri. I don't know if that's going to fix their secondary right now, but, you know, Troy Franklin was a good one. I was impressed to see that he was still there in the 4th round when they got him on Saturday. But the rest of the draft, I'm kind of looking at saying, it's okay. But, like, you know, for them to go get, or rather not Troy Franklin, that's the Denver guy, the other receiver that they ended up coming away with. But I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the moves that they made beyond rounds 1 and 2 and 4 for the Minnesota Vikings by the time they get back on the clock.
In terms of getting the punter, Torrey Taylor, multiple people that I trust, one of them being Olin, one being one of my college fraternity brothers who scouts in the league, and said, dude, that's a weapon. That is a great draft pick. I know there are others going, what are you doing taking a punter in round 4? What do you think?
That's an all-in move. That's how I saw it. Like, when you think that you have to upgrade, you know, to make an upgrade at that position, and I know that Trenton Gill, like, has been, you know, that's kind of one of those ones that you project going into the season, who's going to be on the roster bubble this year. He, you know, when you talk to Richard Hightower, the one thing that he'll say that he does really well is the holder on kicks. Like, you can't, you know, on field goals and extra points, that can't be your only big contribution to the team. And they like the size of this guy. Like, he's a big you know, not a typical punter, and he's an athlete at that too. I know that he ended up being the best weapon that Iowa had last year on offense. That probably wouldn't be hard to do in any situation, considering at how low of a clip they were able to score, and he outgained them punting by more than 1,000 yards. I don't anticipate that being the case here in Chicago, and in the call that he got from Caleb Williams or text makes it sound like he thinks that's going to not be his MO in the NFL either. But it's when you have other needs, like along the defensive line, at the edge position, and you go and take a specialist in the fourth round when I think we've seen three punters since 2012 drafted in the fourth round, that's going to turn some heads and make people criticize the pick. But to me, that's Ryan Poles telling you through his actions that he thinks that this team is close and that they are ready to go right now if you're making a move like that on a punter in the fourth round.
CC, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a great day.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN 1000 on the hotline.
The CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
I have a off football topic that I want to address with you, being that you're a basketball aficionado, that I saw on social yesterday. Joe Colley put it out there, and I thought you'd be a perfect person to run this comp by.
All right. Sounds like a setup, and we'll get to more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Bendart.
Captain J Hood brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business at Peggy Kaczynski's favorite town, bbolingbrook.com. Full results of the Bears draft: quarterback Caleb Williams, wide receiver Roma Dunze, tackle Kieran Amagaji from Yale via Hinsdale, Iowa punter Torrey Taylor,
Dragon Slayer,
and Kansas edge rusher Shay's guy, Austin Booker. NFL.com grades give the Bears an A-minus, highest grade in the NFC North. Right. Cubs lost the series to the Red Sox over the week and got pounded Saturday. Lost on a walk-off last night. They're 17-11, hanging in there with a ton of injuries. Jordan Wicks not on the IL with a strained forearm. The Cubs start a series with the Mets tonight at 6:10.
Wicks, surprisingly Wicks.
And the White Sox got their first series win of the season by sweeping the Tampa Bay Rays out of Guaranteed Rate Field over the weekend. Ooh. There's more than milkshakes there. Andrew Benintendi had a breakout series, going 6 for 13 with 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. He's now the RBI leader on the club for the season. Wow. Sox will play the Twins tonight at 6:40 on ESPN 1000. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With you till 10 o'clock, then Mike Greenberg comes in at 10, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 3. Then it is Waddle and Sylvie, 2:30 to 6, into White Sox baseball as they take on the Twins. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. I think like our audience dancing along with the music outside.
Yes.
It's go back to the phone lines. Palm Beach, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Paulie on Cap and Jay Hood as we talk Bears.
Hey, guys. Great show.
What's up?
Great.
Thanks, Paulie. How are you, kid?
Dude, good. Raining down here. Can't play till the afternoon, so I thought I'd give you a buzz.
All right.
I remember, Cappy, when I called in the day after they drafted Fields and you told me to get away, and I told you he was a bust, get away from my 82nd floor window over at Trump and don't jump.
Uh-huh.
I remember that.
Okay.
This is a developmental year for the Bears, and I like what they've done. Mm-hmm. The punter is a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a developmental year. You do not have a line yet. Who is blocking is what I want to know. Teams that are super successful have a superior line, not an average one, not a patched up one. here's how this is going to work, right? They're not going to cover the 8.5. There's not a chance. If they do, Vegas will be bankrupt.
Wait, you don't think they win more than 8 games?
They will not cover the 8.5. Not a chance. And you can play it with me, and you don't even have to do the minus 40. How do you like that? Okay, they're not going to cover. This is a developmental year. Here's how this plays out. They're going to be 2-7, 3-8. The losses are going to be close. They're going to show they're a good team. They're going to show they're advancing, but they're not going to win yet. Okay? They don't have a line. You need an offensive line. So, you know, in the agent, and I told you, you know, my brother's an agent. They have these sheets. This Penix is, in their opinions, as far as rating them, was just as good as Caleb Williams. And the difference is, one's a pocket passer and one's a rollout guy. The NFL has figured out how to defend these rollout guys, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why Mahomes is successful is because he gets out of the pocket. He's not pressured for 10 seconds, and some poor linebacker can't cover Kelsey, right? That's the advantage of being a rollout guy. But the disadvantage is you only have to cover half the field. So they're going to put a spy on this Williams kid, and they're going to make him have to throw from the pocket. And I believe he can. This is not against Williams. I'm just saying for this year, this is developmental.
Paulie, that 8.5 bet's not going to go well for you if they stay healthy.
I hope not. They are not covering the 8.5. I don't care if he's healthy or not.
Yes, they are.
They're just not. Have you heard anybody play the under?
Yeah, actually I have. A couple friends of mine who think like you do, but... Yes, they're covering.
Well, I won't post it until we get the schedule. But
they're covering the 8.5.
I've already had about 50 calls from men and women who all want the over. Every mm-hmm. one of them wants the over, like it's the free money window.
Mm-hmm.
And that always scares me.
All right, Paulie, we appreciate the telephone
call. Have a great day, man. Keep them straight.
I would suggest to Paulie that this is the NFL today at the quarterback position. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. It's C.J. Stroud. It's going to be Caleb Williams. It is Jordan Love when he needs to. It's Trevor Lawrence when he needs to. It's Justin Herbert when he needs to. I know that people pine for the old days of a quarterback just standing in the pocket and taking the beating. That's not the game today. You move the pocket. Mm-hmm. That's the quarterback position today.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that that is something that's a detriment is if you tell me it's a detriment, then you are part of the horse and buggy that used to be in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that that's a negative that is incorrect. It isn't.
Agreed.
It's what's being coached today.
Agreed.
Sidebar, may you approach?
Brought to you by Ankin Law, 312-6 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Saw my ball. Your thoughts, sir. You had a question for me.
I did. If I told you you could have in their prime, so pre-ACL injury for Derek versus the guy right now that is Jalen Brunson. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Jalen Brunson because that guy, and again, this is based on pre-injury for Derek. See, because I'm playing the results, obviously, with Rookie of the Year and multiple-time All-Star, that kind of thing.
Correct.
You know, for 4 years, Derek Rose was at the top of his game.
He was. He was amazing.
He still was very solid, by the way. Very solid in 2014, 2015, averaging 17 points a game, 16 points a game, but he was not the same player. The player that I love was a guy that not just Rookie of the Year, but the second year. Because you wonder, is there a sophomore slump? It was not. 20 points a game, 21 points a game for Derek in year two. 25 points a game in year three as MVP. 21 points a game in year four. Jalen Brunson, if anyone watched that game, and I watched that game from start to finish yesterday with the Knicks and the Sixers cap, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson is a killer. We haven't even seen his best basketball yet. I'm just saying that the arrow's pointing up for Jalen in a big way. He was unbelievable yesterday.
Unbelievable. He had 47 in the game. He was unbelievable.
You're doing this on the road, by the way, in Philly. I know it was a strong section of Knicks fans there. Because it's a short drive from New York to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Knicks fans there. But, again, it's in the opposing building. And he was making shot after shot, reminding me of Derek in a lot of ways.
No question. But I'm looking at Derek Rose, rookie year, 3-point percentage. He shot 22%.
Mm-hmm.
The next year he shot 26%, 26.7. The next year he shot 33, then 31, 34, 28, 29, 21, 23, 25. Like, holy cow. I did not realize he was that bad a three-point shooter. Never, ever saw that coming. You look at Jalen Brunson today, I don't know how he, because he's nowhere near the high flyer that Derek was, how does he get himself in the paint and score the way he does over much bigger players? He was always more of a heavy-legged, but, you know, very cerebral, good, solid dude, he's a superstar.
Yes.
He's an absolute freaking superstar.
A killer.
Killer.
There's three trees around him for the 76ers, and he finds a way, the little bit of daylight, to get to the basket and made shot after big shot after big shot.
Yeah.
I mean, people thought, oh, the same old Knicks. Not the same old Knicks. It's not, actually.
It's not. I saw it on Joe Colley's Twitter, and he said, frankly, I don't even think it's an argument that Jalen is ahead of Derek. And then I started looking at the stats. I'm talking about with my brother, and I'm like, actually, Joe's probably right here. You start looking at the numbers, it's unbelievable.
This is not a shot at Derek in any stretch of imagination, because love that he's from here, went to Simeon, was able to get to college, and then was just set the world on fire. Not just Chicago, but because a guard of his ilk was able to do what he did with the Bulls. What I'm saying is that ACL injury just cut his talent short after 4 years of play.
Agreed.
Still serviceable player. But that's the thing. That's the difference. And Jalen Brunson, the world is his oyster. Holy smokes, he's amazing.
Yes.
I enjoyed that game. As an NBA guy, was watching that game with little White Sox on the side, some other out-of-town baseball in the Hood Cave yesterday. Boy, that was enjoyable to watch that. On the road, big spot against the Sixers? Holy smokes.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. We had it on at a birthday party for our granddaughter, and it was like, wow, this guy is killing it.
If it is April 29th, you know what day that is, Cub fans. It is Lee Elia Day.
That's correct. The anniversary.
Lee Elia, as we get ready for the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day, let's go back in time. Les Grobstein, right there with the Morants rolling.
Rest in peace, Les.
With the Morants rolling. The only one that had this audio.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My ass. What the am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people that show up? Don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and earn a living.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Time now for the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, you talk about best in class, right at the top of the shelf when it comes to the best in fine dining inside or outside of Chicago Cut. We talk about it all the time. That's the spot for the spring and summer, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. All right, let's go to the classic cut of the day, Jay Moore.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You know that you and I have a favorite on this Bears team.
Yes.
Oh. Jack Sanborn.
Oh, he's such an All-American guy.
So we have a guy that we love in Jack Sanborn. I mean, my God. I mean, you talk about a star. Well, I have nothing else. The Bears get the linebackers, right?
They got the linebackers right. And hopefully the interior. Got to get some Twitch edge said, pressure.
Jack Sanborn.
Oh, no. It is Jack Sanborn. Yes, it is.
Wow.
He's so good.
Rossi thinks so.
Oh, Jack Sanborn. Jack Sanborn. Oh. He's the guy, man. I can't wait. We're the home of the Bears. Where's our Jack Sanborn show?
For Bears football.
We're live from the Gale Street Inn, the Jack Sanborn show.
Hey! Yay!
We're here. We're live. It's unbelievable. Let me tell you something, Jack Sanborn. You're unbelievable. You're better than Earl Acker. I mean, it's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, you thought the Ditka show was popular.
Good, Jim.
The Sanborn show.
The Sanborn show. We should have it. Come on. Chicago Cut. Hey, we're live in Chicago Cut. Hey!
Could you sign this for my grandson?
You're so great. I'll tell you, I've been watching you for many years.
I'm only in my second year now.
And that's all, folks.
The Captain J. Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flaman, Matt Moore's amazing restaurant on LaSalle, north side of the Chicago River.
Austin is in Davenport, Iowa, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Austin, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call real quick at the end of the show here. I attended the NFL draft, and I just got back home yesterday afternoon. And I'll tell you what, Detroit, the city downtown, is a really nice area. If anybody out there is listening and thinking about going there, I know it sounds weird to say to go to Detroit for a vacation, but wow, I was one of those 775,000 people that were there. Downtown Detroit is legit. They really clean that place up a lot. But anyway, I'm still stunned that the Bears got Odunze at 9. I've been like in this fog for 3 days that he fell to us at 9. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I can't even think straight.
that the Bears were able to solidify their quarterback and their wide receiver in the first two picks, right? Pretty good.
Yeah, I was hugging strangers. We were all the Bear fans that attended. We were repped pretty well there. And I was super impressed with that city. If you guys ever want to go there, go. It's a lot of great restaurants. People were legit. It was a great time.
Yeah, last time I was in Detroit, I had dinner with one Jonathan Hood and Christopher Bleck. Remember that?
I do.
We went to the MGM Grand Casino, had a meal there, gambled a little bit. Yeah, in advance of the Horizon League tournament we were doing up there?
That's exactly right.
So, and that's Shay's stomping grounds, man.
Yes. Yes. I would say that is always that adjustment, because when we go to, you know, certain restaurants or bars or whatever, it's smoke-free. But then you go into like that, the casino, it's like, oh, wait, there's an adjustment there. Like, okay, here we go.
Right. They have not banned smoking, at least when we were there.
Yes.
Public places.
It was an adjustment. Stunning. Like, it's like, all right, here we go. Hey, I grew up with secondhand smoke, so it's fine. But it's just like you had to make that adjustment, because we're always in these places around here where you can't smoke. And you go in, people are having a good time. They got a Winston going while they're on the slot machines.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Doesn't bother me at all, man.
Brutal.
By the way, you talk about impact in the draft, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
The impact in the draft, which is totally underreported. But at Coach Prime in Colorado, you talk about the impact they made in the draft. It was just amazing. You know, Coach Prime gets to Colorado, and what is he there for? To put players in the league. I just thought that was just amazing.
They had nobody drafted.
Yeah. Zero.
Zippo from Colorado. What happened, Dion?
Not saying that's going to be that way next year, but I'm just saying, like, like that's the whole object of him being there.
And then he came out and said, whoever said I ever said that I wouldn't let my kids get drafted certain towns, they're wrong. That was stupid. I never said that.
Yes.
Okay.
A nice impact there. Is that coming to men's? 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Next year they might have three. So
they might, yeah. Starting with his son, the quarterback, right?
Travis Hunter will go ahead of the quarterback,
Shadur,
I would hope.
Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Hello,
it's time for me, Shay.
Hello, Dito.
Happy Lee Elliott Day. I love Les Graber. Rest in peace. He was the best. And in honor of him, let's nominate a bum of the week early. Let's go with Paulie in Palm Beach. That guy should be bagging groceries at the Publix down there.
Go!
Okay. Anyone who is on the fence about taking the Bears over, All they needed to do was hear that guy, same guy that said the Bears are definitely going to Arlington Heights, same guy that wanted to turn Justin to a quarterback. At least Eddie from the north side and Mitchell and Desplaines are quality listening. You bring nothing to the table, sir. I award you 0 points and may God have mercy on your soul. And lastly, Hoodie, people always ask me, Downtown Dean, how'd you manage to be out in these streets all these years ripping and running and live to tell about it? I always tell him the same thing, Hoodie. One day at a time, I suppose. Let's go, LeBron. Take that!
He better hope for his sake that he's wrong,
with
Paulie.
Over 200 flavored notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is the more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon, Woodford Reserve. Let's talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great one.
So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.